This is Twit.
Say goodbye to this year's Conflu. It's Android news, all digital.
Bittersweet.
It's true, because every year you go to, I feel like the word flu has different meaning now, suddenly I'm realizing. But every year you go to CES, and that would be the thing that everybody would complain about, right? Like, oh, I got back from CES and I'm so sick. I had a lot of fun, or I didn't have a lot of fun, but they're almost guaranteed always to come back sick. Not with the coronavirus, and definitely not with the coronavirus in 2021, because the Consumer Electronics Show has officially been announced to be a fully virtual show for 2021. It runs January 6th through 9th. It's going to include keynotes, product showcases, networking opportunities, but all digital, all online. No packing the halls in Vegas, which, let's be real, it's a good decision. That's how I feel.
Well, and also, I think this is what is also interesting, that this is on the heels of, I think CES is more, it's a sooner date and it's more akin to us, but we cover all things Google. But I saw today Google shared that they're extending the work from home until summer 21.
That's true.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So none of these are good news. I mean, It's sobering news. I mean, we all agree it's probably for the best and better safe than sorry. And I actually saw somebody, one of my friends in my Facebook feed was talking, and I guess somebody tweeted it or whatever, but saying, if you're curious how this whole coronavirus thing is actually going, look at the tech companies and look at the decisions that are going to be made. And if Google's not, saying not till summer 21, So I mean, CES – I'm not sure if he talked about it on the show, but I read a great article that when this all started back in like March or April that identified CES as one of the possible starting points for this in the US, because so many people came from China, and they tracked one dude who went to CES and then went to the Bay Area, then went to Seattle, and like you just see how it could all go. So it makes sense that they would do this. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going anyway, so. It's fine.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we haven't been going for the last couple of years, or at least I haven't. So I don't think we had any plans of going to Vegas. I mean, just the idea of going to Vegas now, let alone like, eight months from now, when I think of CES, I just think of the most packed of packed things that I ever really do in my life with any sort of regularity.
Yeah.
So that doesn't sound like a good idea to me.
But for a freelancer like myself, CES was a very kind of important part of the job because of the things that I budget for during the year. I only budget for a very, very small number of conferences compared to what I did when I was fully employed, just to say. So I was actually looking forward to going back in 2021 after the whole baby thing. But then that was... that was pre-COVID. That was pre all this, just because I was really looking forward to being in a spot where everybody would be to just kind of like, connect, network, exchange ideas, that sort of thing. So we're not going to get that without a CES.
Or even just friendships, honestly. Like, that's going to be the thing that I know a lot of us are going to miss, is being able to hang out with one another. And just on a personal standpoint, I feel like the only person in all of these conversations that actually likes Las Vegas.
I love Las Vegas, but I'm already bummed that I can't go. But
it depends on the context. I love and hate. Well, I don't love Las Vegas, but I don't hate Las Vegas. I'm somewhere in the middle. And it depends on, like, I organized an event at one of the casinos and the hotels, and like that took years off my life. So like I transferred planes in Vegas like a year or a year and a half after the event I organized. It was the first time I was back. And as soon as the plane hit the runway, I started getting the shakes just by seeing the strip. And luckily I never left the airport, but it's like, so Vegas can either be great or take years off your life. So.
Fair. The last couple of years, I've created like these little events for our friend group, and I call it family meal. And we just go to a restaurant in Las Vegas once most of the work is done, and we all just have a meal together. And I'm just a little bit disappointed that we won't be able to do that this time around. Other than that, just having to buy all of our own food and drink during the digital CES, that's a bummer.
Yeah, right. Are they gonna deliver hors d'oeuvres to our homes and give us samples of all the really bad tech at some of these events? These things that you're like, oh, wait a minute, somebody actually found like money to invest in this product? Okay. Okay. Well, they're on the show floor. So.
Like Ron said earlier, this is a really valid concern to kind of be concerned about what we're going to do with conferences and conventions going forward. I mean, even look at this year, like I personally really felt a void without Google I.O. It's been such an important part of my coverage, and just part of the beat is being in the trenches, so to speak. And like, what better way to do that than to be right there next to Google HQ with everybody? And so to not have that kind of, I don't know. And I keep seeing calls for all these virtual events, and I'm tempted, but it's just so, it's so much. It's so much right now to try and like squeeze all of these things that were once really normal into just like a digital event. I honestly feel like we should be taking a bit of a break. Well, from
but it's actually
just,
but Flo, that's actually a really great point, because, you know, while it's not tech, the most recent major nerd virtual event that happened Comic-Con. Was this past weekend. So San Diego Comic-Con happened, and, you know, obviously we all know it was canceled and San Diego wasn't going to do it. And, and so instead of it, they decided to have a Comic-Con at home. And their approach to it was they focused on their panel programming, right? So they didn't try to recreate the exhibitor floor or any of that stuff. But they, what they did was they had panelists submit videos that then were published to the Comic-Con YouTube page. And I don't know if you saw some of the articles that were coming out in the past couple of days, but, you know, part of my day job is I work in comic book and entertainment industry. So this is very near and dear to my heart. And I was watching it over the weekend, and they actually published over 300 videos in the span between Thursday and Friday. And at best, the videos averaged about 10,000 views each. I saw some videos that still had three digits in views. And there was a bunch of analysis that came out that showed that chatter and discussion on social media about Comic-Con was down 94% year over year, which was just like, you can't recreate it. You can't take that event and move it online in the way that you're going to do it. I think that, you know, they overstepped their bounds. They really, it was too wide, and you can't, yes, it's great to have these, you know, streaming options to watch it and all stuff like that. But people, you know, it's summer, they're doing stuff. They're out. I was in the pool this morning, you know, like, so it's, you know, it's tough, to do a virtual event. So we'll see what they do, but.
Not to mention, people are, you know, in the case of something like this virtual event versus in person, you're there, you're focused. That's the thing that you're doing. You're doing virtual, you're expected to kind of do that thing too, but also all of these other things, you know, and it's just, it's hard to kind of keep up that pace and everything in a different environment.
Video always off. Right. It's the weirdest when you come into like a briefing or a meeting or something, and they're all like, "Josh, where's your camera? We want to see you." And I'm like, "I don't want you to see me right now. What are you talking about?"
it is a really invasive thing to just kind of have like a camera on to a person who is usually a colleague. Because at least when you're in those spaces, you're in a public like shared space versus this is my room. Like, I mean, I show it to you guys on the show every Tuesday, but it's a bit of a different thing to do that here in this space with what we're doing right now versus, "Hi, I'm Florence Ion, journalist, and I'm interested in learning more about your company and your product." It's, you know, it's a psychological thing.
Totally. I mean, the good news is everybody's in the same position, so everybody kind of understands, but it is weird. But it is weird, and it's taken some time to get adjusted to that. I'll be curious to see how engaging and how, I don't know, how much of a copy of the real CES, the digital version, will be. Obviously, it's going to be nothing near it, but when you're talking about networking opportunities and everything, how are they going to actually offer an experience that even comes close to what you get when you're in Vegas? And no one really knows, but not surprised at all that they announced that.
And let's be
honest. Ron, you got the next one.
Oh, sorry.
Flo, be honest first.
I was just going to say, let's be honest, we all breathe a slight sigh of relief that we get a bit of a break from. Yeah,
well, I got to say, I mean, it wasn't COVID related, but the first time I didn't have to go to CES, I was like, "Whew, that's fantastic." And I've never been back since. So